Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8, the message this afternoon, Satan's purpose and work. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In our previous messages, we have seen from the Word of God that Satan is a real person, as real a person as the Lord Jesus Christ and as you and me. We have seen that Satan is a created being, an angelic being, and that originally he was the covering cherub whose position was near the throne of God. He was at that time a perfect being, the highest of God's creation. But his pride caused him to seek to usurp the throne of God, and he led a revolt of one-third of the angels against God. Because of this rebellion, he was cast out of heaven and thus removed from the place of great honor that he held near the throne of God. In today's message, we shall consider the purpose and work of Satan. What is Satan's purpose in this world? What is he trying to do? What is his work? What does he do in accomplishing his purpose? Let's look first of all in this message then at Satan's purpose. Satan has at least a threefold purpose in his existence. First of all, Satan's purpose is to oppose God. Now, Satan hates God, and he hates God with all that he is. This hatred arises from Satan's first desire to be independent of God and to be exalted above God, only to have that desire smashed when God cast him out of heaven. Because of his great hatred of God, Satan opposes God in every way that he can. The very name Satan means adversary or enemy. Satan is the adversary or enemy of God. Several scriptures speak of Satan as the enemy. Scriptures like Matthew 13, 38, and 39 in the parable of the wheat and the tares. Let's turn to Matthew 13, 38, and 39. Matthew chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Here the Lord Jesus says, "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels." Because of this hatred, Satan opposes God's work in this world. Turn to Zechariah chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2, next to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 3, and I will read verses 1 and 2 here. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now this passage says that Satan resisted the work of the angel of the Lord in connection with Joshua, the high priest of Judah. Notice the word resist here. "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of God, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Second, Satan's purpose in this world is to oppose Christ. Not only to oppose God, but to oppose Christ, who is the seed of the woman. When Adam had sinned, God made a great prophecy concerning the future of Satan. And we read this prophecy in Genesis 3:15. Please turn to that. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Now we have, theologians have a $2 word for this verse. They call it the proto-evangelon. That is, it's the first statement of the gospel in the Bible. Genesis 3:15, God said to Satan here that the seed of the woman would bruise Satan's head or destroy him. And I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed, Satan, and her seed. It, her seed, shall bruise thy, Satan's head. And thou, Satan, shall bruise his, the woman's seed, heel. Now, a head wound is fatal. I'm amused as I see these westerns on TV once in a while. Nearly every one of them, somebody gets conked over the head and knocked out at least once. I'm sorry. Ordinarily, that's a fatal blow. A blow to the head is ordinarily fatal. In his hatred and antagonism, Satan concentrates on Christ, the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman would descend from Eve. Satan thought that the seed would come through the godly Abel. And so he inspired Cain to murder his own brother Abel. 1 John 3:12 says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, that is the devil, and slew his brother. The fact was that it was through Seth that the promised seed would come, and not through Abel. But Satan thought it was Abel. He tried to kill. He got Abel killed, thinking he could stop the seed of the woman there. Then in Moses' day, Satan inspired Pharaoh to kill all the male children born to the Hebrew women, thus seeking the extermination of all the descendants of Isaac and Jacob. He thought he could kill the seed of the woman. Then in Esther's day, Satan inspired Haman to cause Ahasuerus to kill all the Jews in the world, thus ensuring that the seed of the woman would be stopped. Let's look at Esther chapter 3 and verse 13. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm, Proverb. Esther chapter 3 and verse 13. And the letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. And he failed again because of Satan's hatred for Christ. When the time came that this promised seed should be born, when that time drew near, Satan took steps to prevent that birth. He concentrated on Mary, the announced mother of the promised seed. Turn to Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Revelation 12, 1 through 4 tells us about Satan's focus on preventing the birth of Mary's child. Revelation 12, 1 through 4. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. Now here's the part. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now there's all kinds of things involved in that. Israel is the woman, as well as Mary. And the child, of course, is the Christ child. And Satan was waiting for that child to be born so he could try to kill the child. He tried to kill the Christ child before he was born by causing his expectant mother to have to travel 60 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem in order to pay taxes. We read over that and don't ever think about it, don't we? Think about a mother ready to be delivered having to either ride on a donkey or a camel. I've ridden a camel before. It feels like somebody said a camel is a horse put together by a committee. It feels like every bone's out of joint and it's the roughest ride you ever had. She either had to ride a donkey or a camel or else she had to walk. And either way, her health and that of the baby were in danger. Baby doctors now would just have a fit. They'd have a stroke if they knew a woman was going to walk 60 miles over that rough country just before the birth of her child. But God miraculously preserved she and her baby. Then Satan caused Herod to kill all the male children 2 years old and under living in Judea at that time. What a terrible thing. God rescued the child and his family, sending them to Egypt, and then sending them back when Herod died, according to Matthew 2:13-15. But that's not all. Satan led Judas to betray the Lord Jesus to be crucified. Luke 22:3 says that Satan entered into Judas to inspire him to do this awful deed. Turn to Luke 22 and verse 3. Luke 22 and verse 3. Then we're going to turn quickly to one in John 13. Luke 22:3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Now John 13 and verse 2. John chapter 13 and verse 2 says that Satan led Judas to betray the Lord Jesus. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. But after all this, God's plan was perfectly carried out. And the redemption of his people was accomplished just as the angel had promised in Matthew 1:21. Let me every sovereign grace person ought to have this verse memorized. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He did it. Satan could not prevent Christ from coming into this world as a man and accomplishing the redemption of his people. But he focused on Christ. He opposes Christ. The third purpose of Satan is to oppose man in general, and elect men in particular. Satan hates all men. You know, he hates wicked men like he hates saved people. Satan is the enemy of man. I'll tell you what I mean. Satan seeks, by ruining man, to strike out at man's creator. That's the way he gets at God, as he strikes out at the image of God. Through man's ruin, Satan struck a blow at the creator and continues to do so in all that he does. Satan is always working to do mischief, either to the souls or bodies or estates of men, but especially to their souls. As our text in 1 Peter 5:8 says, Satan's purpose is to devour souls. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We talked about this Wednesday night in the prayer meeting. Satan's names of Abaddon and Apollyon mean destroyer. Satan is the destroyer of souls. Satan's purpose is to damn souls to hell. And he'll do anything in order to prevent salvation and ensure that the souls of men are sent to hell. He works tirelessly to keep souls away from Christ. When sinners are under conviction, when they're under Holy Spirit conviction of sin, Satan throws up mountains in their way to prevent their conversion. Satan is especially the enemy of God's elect. Listen, my friends, Satan hates God's people. Our text in 1 Peter 5:8 says that Satan is the adversary, the enemy of God's people. He's writing to Christians here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan deliberately sets himself against God's people. A roaring lion in our text is a descriptive term. It speaks of Satan's strength and power. It speaks of his fierceness. It speaks of his rage. It speaks of his cruelty that he has toward the saints of God. Satan's purpose is to destroy the happiness of God's people. Since he cannot have our souls, he seeks to destroy our happiness and well-being here in this life. We've looked at Satan's purpose, so now in the remainder of this message, let's look at Satan's work. What does Satan do to carry out his purposes in this world? Under the heading of the work of Satan, we shall consider some of what he does. Now, in another message on the wiles of Satan, we're going to look at how he does it. But here we want to look at what he does. In his opposing of man, Satan works in the unsaved. In doing this, he moves men to do evil. He energizes men. He inspires men to do evil. A man named John Richards said that in 1940, quote, the British Secret Service enlisted the aid of the astrologer Louis DeVoe in an attempt to ascertain what astrological guidance Karl Kraft was giving the Führer. For it is well known, that Hitler based his decisions on this, unquote. So astrology, if you didn't know it already, I'm going to tell you this afternoon, astrology is one of Satan's tools for moving men to do evil. So the British Secret Service tried to find out what astrology was leading Hitler to do next. Satan guides the minds of unbelievers who are open to atheism and ready to show hostility to God. I tell you, I don't know of too many things worse or more bitter than some of these atheists that I hear now on television talking about how they hate God and hate the churches. Satan fills those people's minds to oppose God and to oppose believers. Second, Satan seeks to prevent the salvation of souls. He doesn't know who the elect are, and we don't either. So he blinds men's minds so that the light of the gospel cannot shine in their hearts. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Here Paul says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Part of his work is to blind people's mind so they won't hear the gospel or see the gospel. Satan opposes the salvation of men because he knows that if they are once converted, they are converted forever. And thus, they are forever beyond his reach as far as salvation is concerned. He knows that once we are saved, We are finally lost to Him and forever out of reach of His soul-destroying power. Thirdly, the work of Satan. He deceives the nations. He deceives the nations, leading them into wars that will take the lives of millions and send their souls to hell forever. Think about World War II. We were talking about that this morning. Millions died who never heard of the Lord. Satan laughed. That was Satan's work. Leading the nations to war so that men will be killed and souls will go into hell without ever hearing the gospel. Turn to Revelation chapter 16 and verse 14. Revelation 16 and verse 14 says that Satan's demon spirits will gather the nations for the great battle of Armageddon. Revelation 16, 14. And I put this here just to illustrate how Satan deceives the nations and leads them into wars. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Here it is, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And then turn to Revelation 20, verses 2 and 3. This says that during the millennium, Satan will be bound so that he can deceive the nations no more. Look at Revelation 20, 2 and 3. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Satan deceives the nations. But God's word says that Satan works on the saved as well as on the unsaved. He cannot destroy the saints, but he does terrify us and give us great problems and great troubles in this life. Ephesians 6:12 indicates that Satan wars with the people of God. He is at war with us. Turn to Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, all of these things, principalities and powers and so forth, have reference to Satan and his demons. If we had time, I could give you scriptures that define who those people are. I want us to consider here just 7 things that Satan does to oppose the people of God in this world. Even though there are many more that could be mentioned, I want to mention just 7 of them here. First of all, Satan works, and it's surprising to some that his greatest area of work is in the churches. But Satan works to damage and destroy Christ's churches. His master and supreme plan is to get control of the churches in order to destroy the gospel and its witness in this world. He's always trying to discredit the church and the gospel in the eyes of the world. I remember during the 1980s when Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker were exposed as frauds and crooks and crooked preachers. I visited a lost man in his home one night and I asked him about his soul, and his response to me was this. I mean, just flat out, just right out, he said this: "If those crooked televangelists have religion, I don't want any." Satan works hard to lead God's people into error and failure. He works to hinder the churches by causing people to bring in worldliness through contemporary music and contemporary dance. He produces laziness and unconcern for souls on the part of the members. Oh, how guilty we are. All of these things get a church off track from the work of the Lord Jesus that He's given the church to do in making baptizing and teaching disciples through the preaching of God's word and through our living a godly testimony before men. Closely related to this is the fact that, number two, Satan hinders the preaching of God's word. He hinders the preaching of God's word. In Matthew 13:19, the Lord Jesus says that Satan snatches the word from its hearers. Let's turn to that. Same chapter, different parable. Matthew 13:19. The Lord Jesus says that Satan snatches the word away from its hearers. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, that's Satan, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. One time I was preaching in a Baptist church in the little Brazilian town of Ubirajara. And there was a wall that was about right here. A wall came across about right here behind me. And it was just a white sheetrock wall. And while I was preaching, a green lizard, about 6 or 8 inches long, crawled up that wall right behind me. And I didn't know it. And he stayed there, moving around slightly during the entire service. You know, I felt like I'd lost the congregation, but I couldn't figure out why. This distracted the congregation from closely hearing the gospel message that I was preaching. And Lindy was sitting there trying to figure out how to tell me that lizard was back there. One time many years ago, my father was preaching on hell in a church in Newport News, Virginia. And at the very climax of the sermon, the boiler underneath the church baptistry blew up and the sermon was destroyed. Satan works to lead people to prejudice and resentment against preachers whom God has sent to bless their souls. He's always trying to get in and get somebody mad at the preacher and going around telling somebody else what a sorry outfit the preacher is. This, of course, is a hindrance to hearing and understanding and obeying God's word. Listen, my friends, your attitude toward the preacher is of eternal consequence. It makes the difference on whether you hear the gospel that he has to preach or not. Thirdly, the work of Satan is that he tempts God's people to sin. Satan is the tempter. Matthew 4:3 actually calls him the tempter. Let me read that. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Satan's always working to tempt God's people to sin. We're not above temptation. You know, temptation is not a sin. Yielding is a sin. But Satan's always working to tempt us. Turn to 1 Corinthians 7:5. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. This scripture says that Satan is the tempter in the area of illicit sex. Now, Paul is speaking to Christians here about their marital relations. "Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." Satan's in that business. That fellow told me one time, said, "Well, preacher, pornography doesn't bother me." I thought, brother, that's where you're going to fall, right there. Genesis 3 tells how Satan tempted or solicited Eve to sin. And Matthew 4 tells how Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, though he did not yield. We're talking about the work of Satan in believers. Fourthly, Satan accuses believers to God and God to believers. The name devil means slanderer or accuser. Satan accused God to Eve when he said in Genesis 3, 4, and 5, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." You see what he was doing there? He was accusing God of withholding something from Adam and Eve that would actually be good for them to have. He's the accuser. Revelation 12:10 says that Satan accuses Christians before God day and night, or without ceasing. Let's turn to that. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Satan's never ceases in accusing God's people. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Satan is always looking for something for which to accuse God's people to him. He maliciously brings charges against God's people. Turn to Job chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Job 1, verses 9 and 10. And here we read how Satan accused the godly Job to God. Job 1, 9 and 10. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught or for nothing? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." In other words, Satan was accusing Job like this. "Well, Job just serves you because you've been so good to him." Many times, Satan accuses God to us. Now, this is where we live. Satan accuses God to us, telling us that, after all, God is harsh and God is severe and God is unfair to us in taking our loved ones in death. You ever had the devil whisper that in your ear? That happens all the time. Number five, Satan hinders the believer from doing what he ought to do. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:18. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Paul said here that Satan had hindered his work for the Lord. Paul is speaking to the Thessalonian Christians. "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Paul was doing the Lord's work. Satan hindered him. Satan hinders us. Oh, how he does. He hinders us from attending the church services faithfully. He uses bad weather as a reason that we ought not to go to the church services. A little rain, a little snow, or a little cold weather. I'll tell you, when I was pastor in Southern Baptist churches, I never saw the likes. If a cloud came up, half the congregation would stay home. That's the devil's work. Number six, Satan's work in the people of God. Satan discourages God's people. He worked on Elijah to run and hide from Jezebel. You know, Elijah just worked one of the mightiest miracles in the Bible. Jezebel said, "I'm going to get you." And he ran and hid. And oh, he got feeling sorry for himself. And he got discouraged. And finally, he told God, he said, "Look, I'm the only one left. Everybody's trying to take my life." And he got so discouraged that he wanted to die himself. Satan so discouraged Jonah that he thought it would be better for him to die than to live. Satan constantly works to destroy the assurance, the peace, and the joy of God's people and lead us into discouragement. Number 7, Satan persecutes God's people. A preacher friend of mine over in the state of South Carolina once printed the following statement in a booklet. Some Satan oppresses, some he possesses, and where he is dispossessed, he persecutes. Paul and his colleagues suffered a lot at the hands of the pagan authorities. Paul and his friends, his fellow workers, were beaten and imprisoned. But behind it all, Paul saw a greater enemy than those authorities. He said in Ephesians 6:12 that we read a moment ago that behind these things were principalities and powers and so forth, referring to Satan and his demons. In Revelation 2:10, the Lord Jesus warns that in this church age, some of his people will be persecuted at the devil's instigation. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. The Lord says to this church here, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Our text tells us that Satan's business is to walk around seeking whom he may devour. Satan never tires of doing this. He never stops. Always, night and day, he continues his nefarious work. Well, in conclusion then, we have seen that Satan's threefold purpose in this world is 1, to oppose God, 2, to oppose Christ, and 3, to oppose man, especially God's elect. We have looked at the works of Satan in regard to the unsaved, and we've seen that he does everything that he can to prevent the salvation of sinners and to take them to hell. And finally, we looked at 7 ways that Satan works in regard to the saved, in regard to God's elect. My friends, these are formidable things, this purpose and this work of Satan. But we who are God's people need to keep in mind the fact that Christ our Savior constantly watches over His people. He is always near to give us the grace that we need for help. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." One of the future messages in this series will be on overcoming Satan. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the clear warnings of Your holy word about Satan, our great enemy. We pray today that You would help us to remember these things and to dig deeper into Your word to learn how to overcome Satan and all of his strategies and all of his wiles. Father, we're grateful for Your saving grace and Your grace that You give us beyond that to resist Satan and to protect us from all the things, the terrible things he's trying to do. We pray for those today whose minds have been blinded to the truth of the gospel by Satan. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would regenerate them and open the eyes of their souls to see their sin and Christ as the Savior from their sins. We pray in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. This is Pastor Lawrence Justice. If you are looking for a church that believes in and stands for God's Word in this day of wickedness, worldliness, and apostasy, I strongly urge you to attend the services of our church. Victory Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri, stands for the gospel of Jesus Christ, with emphasis on the doctrines of God's grace,
the New Testament church, and biblical missions with reverent worship and Christ-centered preaching. Such churches are not easy to find in these days of religious entertainment and endless activities. If you are concerned about traditional biblical worship and serious doctrinal and expository preaching, I want to invite you to consider moving to the Kansas City, Missouri area and joining us. When you are traveling on business or vacation, why not plan to be present in our services on Sundays and Wednesday evenings? Or why not make a special trip just to visit us? It's easy to contact us for information about our church. Call us on the phone at 816-761-7184. Email us at lajustice99@yahoo.com. Visit our church website at www.victorybaptist.us, or just drop in on Sundays and Wednesdays at 9601 Blue Ridge Boulevard in Kansas City, Missouri, 64134.